Hey there, welcome to the Student to CEO podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Mason. We're talking to entrepreneurs who launched their business at a young age and they're now killing the game. Tune in to our episodes as these guests spill the dirt on taking that leap into entrepreneurship just like they did. Hey everyone, welcome to today's episode of the Student to CEO podcast. Joining me today is Gabby Dymacki. Gabby is a portrait and lifestyle photographer based out of the Midwest. After spending the past few years in London studying photography at London College of Fashion before relocating to New York City to continue her career, her work has taken her to 26 countries and 140 cities. Gabby, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey there, I'm so excited to be on.
Of course. I'd love if you could start off by sharing with our listeners what you do and the journey that led you there.
Yeah, so I am a freelance photographer, and the way that I got there is actually pretty straightforward. When I was about 12, my mom handed me a little point-and-shoot camera, and honestly, I pretty much never put it down, and I've been shooting ever since.
Love it. And so what made you want to get into photography specifically besides your mom giving you that camera? Was there something that really kind of drew you into that passion?
Yeah, I started off and I just took pictures of my friends and honestly everything that was around me. So I would take the camera everywhere, you know, when I was in high school, if I had basketball practice, I would take it. And after practice, I would take a bunch of pictures of my friends. And then in college, I would take it and capture everything that was around me. So for me, it was kind of just a creative outlet and a way for me to just express myself and an artistic way for me to be creative, try new things, and see what kind of cool pictures I got. So that's how I first kind of got interested in photography as an art form. And then when I found out that you could make money doing photography, I was like, oh my gosh, someone's going to pay me to do this? Like, sign me up. I'm in. I've been doing it ever since. And my main things that I focus on now are portraits and also weddings. I do weddings too, all over the U.S. So it's kind of a fun balance of the two because weddings are very, you know, you have to be very focused. They're very fast paced. You kind of have one day to get all this crazy, so many events happening captured in one moment. And then portrait work is more laid back, slower. You have more time to kind of prepare and pose the shoot and organize it in that. So I kind of like the duality of both of them.
Love it. And I think one of the most beautiful things about entrepreneurship is the fact that you can take something you're passionate about, like photography for you, and then find a way to monetize it. And so one question that I have for you is, since you kind of took photography from just being a creative outlet to really a business, what was that process like of getting freelance clients? Because I know that for a lot of listeners here, they'd like to get into freelancing, but just the thought of, well, how do I even get my first client is daunting to them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it is. There comes a point to when you're doing something that you're passionate about, when you're like, okay, I have enough skill set now. I've built up my portfolio. Like, I need to start charging people now. And I need to make that shift from, oh, this is, you know, my hobby that I love to do. It's my passion project, to, all right, I want to make this a business. I want to get legit. I want to figure out a pricing structure and then, you know, start going and go for it. So that has been a huge process for me, because especially since I started doing photography so young, and most of my clients at first were like my friends, you know, I would do my friends' senior pictures and stuff like that. So it was super hard for me at first to be like, okay, I have to charge you money now. And at first, you know, it was like, okay, I'll charge my friends like $50. And then kind of just building up over the years, it was like, okay, cool, I'm going to do this family shoot. Now maybe I'll charge $100. And then, oh, I'm apprenticing with this photographer. You know, this is how they do their rates. And I kind of am learning that way. And then, you know, after a couple more years from that, it was like, okay, I have a baseline of what kind of is the industry standard for different rates for different things. I'm charging a little bit less than that. And then, you know, a couple years later, I was like, okay, I feel like I have built up enough skill that I can charge what I feel I'm worth. And then, you know, another piece of advice to any creatives that are looking to make this a business is every year you should be increasing your rates a little bit, just because you're getting more experience, you're getting more gear, and it just to go with kind of the photography norm would be to increase yearly.
I think you shared some really great advice there, especially the point that you mentioned about just increasing your prices over time, because I know that that's something a lot of people struggle with, is like, well, what do I charge someone? I want to make sure that what I'm charging them makes it worth my time, but I also don't want to charge so much that it might defer people away. And so I think your point of mentioning just year after year going through and looking at your expenses, perhaps other courses or education that you invested in to make you better at your career and what you do, and really thinking about what you're actually worth and what people should be valuing it you at is huge. And just being able to take that advice and turn it into your pricing is really, really important for being able to grow year after year as a business. So I just love that you pointed out that what you start with your price definitely won't be the same a few years down the line, and that's okay and should be expected.
Absolutely. And one piece of advice that a mentor in New York gave me once was, she was talking about how, especially women, for sometimes it's really hard to charge what we feel that we're worth. Because we're, if, you know, especially if it's an industry where it's a high number, like sometimes photography can get rather expensive. And to try to mentally justify, like, why am I charging this much? This advisor, she gave me the tip to, take a piece of paper and write down, every piece of experience that you have. So if you went to college for this thing, you know, write down how much that university cost. And if you took this online course for it, or if you did these workshops, and if you have all these years of experience, write down every piece of thing that you have toward that passion, and like total the number at the bottom. And if that's, you know, especially if you have college invested, if you have gear invested, like photography gear can get rather expensive, you know, that's going to be a really big number at the end. And so that can kind of help you justify, you know, what you're charging.
I think that's excellent advice. And it really kind of makes you realize, like, wow, I'm worth a lot more than what I thought. It almost like helps you to get rid of that imposter syndrome, because you're able to physically see on that piece of paper, I've invested not only all this money, but also all this time in being able to improve myself, which is really important.
Absolutely. I think it's a great way to kind of validate your skill set.
Most definitely. And one thing that you mentioned too with freelancing was that you got to a point where you did start moving from just doing sessions to build your portfolio to eventually charging your friends and family for the sessions. But how did you get clients outside of friends and family? Because that's one thing I know a lot of people struggle with too when they're starting to get into freelancing, is that they find it really hard to get more clients and customers outside of their immediate network. So what was that process like for you?
Yeah. So I think this is a total, you're totally right that it's a key thing is like, okay, once you're like, great, I want to expand, I want to get clients outside of just people that I know. What I did was, well, I employed a few different strategies, specifically when I moved to New York, because I moved there, I didn't really know anybody, I didn't have a network, and I kind of did a few different things. So the first thing I did when I got there was I just joined a ton of networking groups. I joined a photography group, I joined some female empowerment groups, and I would go to as many kind of happy hour networking things as possible and just bring my business card and say, okay, I have to meet 3 new people at this event tonight. And I would just introduce myself and kind of put myself out there, talk to people and make connections. That's a kind of a great starting point. And then another thing that I did to get specifically photography clients is I thought about who I wanted my dream client to be. So in New York, I was really targeting Instagram influencers. So these were typically like female, you know, like 20 to 30 something girls who had followers on Instagram. And so what I would do is I would message them on Instagram or find their email and send them an email and just say, hey, I'm a photographer. I'm new to the city. I'd like to build my portfolio. If you're interested, I'd like to do a free 15-minute photo shoot with you. And I'll send you 3 to 5 photos that you can post on Instagram, and I'll do it as a trade. So you can, we'll do the photo shoot for free, and then make sure that you tag me when you post me on Instagram, when you post the photo. And this was actually a great strategy because tons of influencers took me up on this, and it wasn't a huge time investment for me. I kind of gave them, you know, 15 to 30 minutes of my time and gave them a piece of product that they could say, oh, wow, like she's a good photographer. And then the bonus side of that was when they posted it on Instagram, their followers could see my photography and they saw that I was working with that influencer. And so that was like the byproduct of that was I got tons of exposure that way. So if there's some kind of trade or something like you can do just to build contacts, I think that's a great strategy to employ.
Yeah, that's a fantastic idea. And one thing I think you mentioned too that is really important about it is that it didn't take a lot of time. So that's one thing that people tend to be wary of when they're giving away free services is that they don't want to be spending all this time doing something for free for people who aren't paying and then therefore taking away time from working on the projects for the people who are paying. And so I think it's great that you mentioned about thinking of some type of way that can really build your experience, your contacts, and your networks, but doing it in a way that really makes sense and is beneficial to you.
Definitely. And I think you also want to make sure when you're doing something like that, that there's a benefit to you, right? So like the thing that I was kind of clear about was like, hey, I'll do this free photo shoot for you, but like in return, like you need to be crediting me on when you're posting the photos so that I'm getting exposure from it. So always make sure that when you're doing these kinds of things, you're thinking about, okay, how is this going to benefit me? And if it doesn't benefit you, then I would say probably don't do it.
Great advice. And outside of doing that collaboration and trading with those influencers and the networking groups, was there anything else that you did to get more freelance clients?
I mean, I think one thing that I like to think about when I'm just thinking about how to start a new project or meet new people or do new things is I try to just have a really open mindset. So even if I was, you know, on the subway going to do something totally unrelated to a photo shoot, I kind of always in the back of my mind would be thinking about meeting people or having my business cards on me. And there were multiple times when I was, you know, walking down the street or on the subway and I saw someone who had like maybe really interesting features, like a girl with like bright pink hair. And I would just pull out my business card and I would say, hey, I think your look is super cool. Like if you ever want to do a photo shot or a photo shoot, here's my card, like reach out to me and I'd totally be down. So I think always just kind of having that in the back of your mind and also being open to opportunities can really lead you to some cool, unexpected places.
I love that, especially because for people to walk up to people that they don't know and be able to make that type of conversation be really nerve-wracking. I mean, for people to kind of step out of their comfort zones and do something like that, but it can be something that can absolutely pay off. So being able to have an open mind to those opportunities that may come across and be able to act upon them once they come to you is really great for being able to get these chances and projects that you never would have normally.
Yeah, and I mean, having the courage to do that, like that stuff is hard. Like going to a networking event alone and not having anyone to talk to, like that can be super intimidating and super scary. So if that, maybe if your personality isn't like that outgoing or you're more introverted, there's still ways you can do that, but like in a way where you feel more comfortable, like maybe bring a friend with you to that networking event or, you know, maybe just send out a couple emails to some brands you want to work with if you're too nervous to, you know, say call them up and have like a direct kind of confrontation. So I think even if you're more introverted, there are still things you can do too to put yourself out there.
Absolutely. And Gabby, what was the most difficult part of starting your business while young?
I think it was probably just because I grew up in Missouri, in a very small town. I didn't even realize that you could be like a photographer or an artist and actually make money doing it. Like that wasn't even a thing that was like really in my realm as I was growing up. So I didn't have a lot of like photography mentors or artists that I could kind of look to and get that advice until really I went to college. And so one thing that was really tough was trying to figure out like, how much do I charge? How do I write a contract? What's the best strategy to like edit these photos? Are there processes that photographers use? Like all those kind of logistical things. And so for any creatives or people just starting out with their businesses, I would say one thing that helps a ton is to find a mentor or even just learn as much as you can. So if that's going on YouTube and typing in, you know, how to edit photos like Vogue or something like that, I think as much information as you can teach yourself and knowledge you can gather, that's going to definitely, you know, make your business grow faster and bring you up to the next level.
I'm so glad you mentioned the logistics part because that is actually one of the biggest reasons why I started Student to CEO, because when I was starting my marketing firm, I faced the same struggles. I'm like, I don't know what to charge people. I don't know how to find clients. I don't know what to include in my contracts. I had so many different things that went into the actual building and running of a business that I had no idea what to do. But it's a ton of questions that can end up bogging people down and preventing them from moving forward. So I think your tip of being able to find a mentor who has done it before and would be more than willing to answer those questions for you in addition to going out and learning on your own, whether it's through YouTube, courses, workshops, anything along those lines, can really do so much for how you grow, not only as a business owner, but also a person.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, I'm sure you know, like when you were starting your business, like you're going to fail a lot, but that's not always a bad thing. Like failure is just learning what you need to do and giving you more information and data for the next time. So I think really just digging in to whatever it is you're building, get in there and yeah, you might mess up, but it's going to help you learn more in the end, I think.
I think that's great advice because so many times people are really scared to take a leap or go forward on a next step because they're worried about it not working out. But truthfully, I mean, if something doesn't work out, I look at it as bringing you closer to what you should be focusing on instead. So it's kind of like if one door closes, two more open.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
And on the opposite end, what was the most rewarding part of starting your business while young?
Yeah. So I think that at the time it was really rewarding to kind of just be exploring. Like photography was still so new to me that it was all kind of like trying new things. Oh, let's try a fashion photo shoot. Like, cool. Let's get all my friends together and have them all dress up and try these new things that I had never, let's try a different lens and stuff like that. So just like all this learning and kind of growing was happening. And that felt really exciting for me. But I think now one thing that is really important to me is I focused a lot now on photographing women and making sure that I'm giving women confidence through our photo shoots. And so now a really rewarding thing for me is kind of just being able to empower women and show that through their portraits.
Absolutely. And I love what you mentioned too about being able to try new things, because I think that's one of the most exciting things about being an entrepreneur is just being able to dip your toes into really whatever excites you and then being able to move forward on it. But one question that I have for you too is that I know I am totally guilty of this in the shiny object syndrome where I get this idea and I'm like, oh, I have to go do it. And then it ends up being something that ended up being a waste of time because it wasn't really bringing me closer to my goals. So what would you recommend for people who kind of want to try new things with their business and have these different ideas that they want to execute, whether it's new services they want to do or products that they want to sell? How do you know that it's actually a good thing to move forward on and would bring them closer to the goals that they want to reach?
I would say the first thing you should do is poll your audience or find out from the people that are already purchasing your product or service what they think about it. So the number one thing that I like to do if I am going to, you know, maybe offer some different kind of photography or maybe add on like a thing that I've started recently in addition to the photography is I've been doing illustrations because since quarantine is happening, a lot less people are doing like in-person photo shoots. And a skill that I picked up during quarantine is learning how to illustrate my photos on Procreate. So an add-on that I'm thinking about doing is, okay, cool, we did this photo shoot. Now if you want me to illustrate any of the images, like I can do that. And so the first thing that I did was I went on Instagram and I also went on MailChimp where I send out my email newsletter and I made a poll and asked some questions to my audience. Would you guys be interested in this? Like, is this something that would be an add-on you would want to buy? Like, if so, like, what do you think would be a good price for it, et cetera, et cetera? And they got back to me and tons of people were like, oh my gosh, yeah. Like, can I email you this photo and you illustrate it for me? And so that told me that, okay, my audience is interested in this product. Now I'm going to move forward with the logistics. So I think getting that kind of baseline is really helpful because of course, you can have something you're super interested in that you want to try, but if it's totally left field and the people that are already buying from you are uninterested in it, then it kind of might be a waste of effort. So that's one way to kind of make sure you're on the right path.
You said it perfectly. I mean, being able to create a product or service that directly solves the problems or needs that your audience has is huge. And that's what gets more interest from your audience and more clients and customers further down the line. So being able to get a feel for what they would want to see within this product or service, and then being able to package something that directly benefits that can do so much for getting more clients, business, and all of that stuff.
Definitely. And also just like be, I think, open with yourself to be flexible. So if you put out a product, it's like, okay, here are the things that went right. Now let's figure out what went wrong and what we can do better the next time. So when we put out the new version of this product the next year, we can always be improving. You know, you don't want to be too hard on yourself. You want to give yourself the flexibility to keep making progress moving forward.
Absolutely. And one thing you said that I want to highlight is just the fact of shifting. So because of what happened with the pandemic and you not being able to do photo shoots for quite some time due to what was happening, you found a way to shift the offerings that you had to be able to still cater to your audience and also still make money. So I think that's something that's really important to do in business as well, is that when things happen that are out of our control that may end up hindering what we're able to give to our customers, we need to be able to find ways to shift and move forward and continue to provide other products and services that can still benefit them.
Yeah, definitely. And especially with like coronavirus and everything, small businesses are the ones that are going to really struggle like in this next year or so. So definitely, if you can be innovative during that time, you're going to be, you know, in a good place.
Absolutely. And Gabby, what do you think led to your success?
Okay, so I thought about this question, and the first thing that I thought was, okay, what is success to me? And I think whenever I kind of first realized that I wanted to do photography and get paid doing it, I deemed success as, all right, this is how I pay my bills. I don't have to do any other jobs. Like, I solely do photography, and it's enough money that I can, you know, live my life. And so when I moved to New York a few years ago, I finally hit that threshold. When I first moved there, I worked actually in a fashion studio where my whole job was like cleaning the photography equipment. And I always said like, oh my gosh, I can't wait until one day when, you know, I don't have to just clean the gear, I can just be the photographer. And so once that point hit where I got to stop doing that job and could just focus on my freelance work full time, I think that was success to me. But I think also to be successful in anything, it's, you know, doing the networking, doing the hustling, continuing to put in the work, and just doing it year after year. Like, I've been doing photography almost 10 years now. And one of the reasons that I think I'm successful is because, you know, 5 years ago when I felt like I was proficient in the technical side of photography, I didn't say, okay, well, I think I know enough. Like, I think that's good. I'm just going to like keep staying at the level I'm at. You know, every single month, every single year, I'm doing new shoots. I'm trying different styles of photography, and I'm building, you know, more equipment. I'm trying different lighting styles and stuff like that. So I think no matter what business you have, if you're continuing to put in the effort to learn and grow and try new things, that's always going to help lead to your success.
Definitely, especially because some of those things can end up being what sets you apart from your competitors. So finding new ways to improve your unique selling proposition or your USP to show people why they should hire you and work with you rather than someone else can do so much for continuing to grow and get that success. One thing that you also mentioned that I loved was the fact that being able to look at that part-time job that you had and then one day be able to quit it and focus on your photography full-time. I mean, from someone who has done the same exact thing, I can say it's an amazing and empowering feeling to be able to leave another job behind and fully focus on what you truly want to do moving forward.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. It's like the coolest thing ever. And kind of building on that too, like, I think success is just whatever you as an individual want to make it. So success for us was like, okay, we want to quit that job so that we can do this and have that flexibility full time. But for other people, success might be, cool, I started this Etsy shop kind of on the side doing this, and this supplements enough income that I can, you know, go on this vacation to Europe that I want to. Or, you know, there's a ton of different things that success could mean to other people, not necessarily even tied to finances or how much you make doing it. So I think you really just need to think about what success is for you and make sure that you're building your business to cater to that.
Absolutely. Success is totally subjective, and being able to define what you deem as something that made you feel as if you've really reached that peak that you want to be at is so important to do.
Yeah, for sure.
And Gabby, if there was one thing you wish you did differently or one thing you know now that you wish you knew then, what would it be and why?
I think it would be that, you know, when I went to college for photography, I kind of did it just because, as I mentioned earlier, I didn't really know any professional photographers. I did one internship with a photographer that did senior pictures in my neighborhood, and that was kind of the extent that there was. And so I mainly went to college to kind of build those skills, learn more about it, and that kind of stuff. But I think now, looking back, if I were to give advice to creatives or photographers that are interested in getting into it now, I would say you definitely don't have to go to college just to learn the technical side of photography. Like, with YouTube and Flern and lynda.com and all these online resources, like, you can pretty much learn anything you want on the internet. And especially with photography, like, I still to this day go on YouTube and Google, like, editing videos and see what people are doing, and also talking to other photographers about it. So I think my advice would be, if you are in a creative field, don't feel like you have to go to college or get that piece of paper from that four-year degree to do what you want to do. Nowadays, I think if you just invest in building your portfolio, that can take you just as far. Like, no one has ever asked me, you know, what college I went to for photography, or, you know, what my grades were when I studied photography. They ask me, what's your website? Let me see your portfolio. Let me see your work.
Yes. Absolutely. And on the opposite end of that, if you do end up going to college and you want to start a business that is completely different from what you majored in, that's okay too. Because I know that I've personally seen that, where people major in something like biology and then they want to go into marketing and they're like, well, I was a biology major. And I'm like, so if you've done the work and you're passionate about it and you know that you could provide results for your clients, then that's really all that matters. It doesn't matter the experience or learning that you did throughout those past 4 years, right? What matters right now is the experience that you have of what you're looking to sell to people.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. And kind of to that note too, you don't have to do the same career for your whole life. Just if you studied one thing in college and you did that for a few years and now you're like, oh, I want to jump into this other thing, it is perfectly cool and normal to do that too. I think our generation is becoming more flexible with that and being like, no, if I want to do event planning for 10 years, cool. Now I'm going to shift to graphic design, and that's okay.
Definitely. And I think a part of that too, why people tend to feel so held back from making that shift, is kind of what the narrative that society puts on us. Like, if you suddenly make a quick jump, they're like, well, why'd you do that? Are you sure you want to do this? Are you sure it's going to work out? Things like that. So I 100% applaud the people who do make those jumps, because it's not easy. And being able to say, I believe in this, I want to follow what I'm most passionate about, I mean, that's just incredible.
For sure.
And why do you think it's so important for people to start a business at a young age specifically?
I think that can be a really great learning opportunity. Like, for me personally, when I was doing like senior pictures and that kind of stuff in high school, and then I started assisting a wedding photographer in college, it became a lot about like, okay, building my brand, working overtime. Maybe I have to do these shoots on the weekends. And I think a lot of my peers kind of had more of a short-sighted thing. Like, okay, I have this part-time job. When I leave the job, I don't have to think about it. It's kind of just something that I can make some side cash for. Whereas if you're building a business, like, you're putting your all into that, because, you know, it's yours. And if you don't give it full effort, if you kind of put it off to the side, like, that's going to show. So I think that can be a really cool thing about starting a business younger, is it really teaches you a work ethic and gives you something that you can kind of take ownership of and build up.
It's so funny that you mentioned that, because I actually had an extremely similar conversation with someone last week, where I was talking about how, for me, owning my marketing firm, I find that after work, I'm constantly thinking about things that I need to do for clients, or I'm working on projects that I need to do for clients, or if not that, reading resources and listening to podcasts and reading blogs and all of that stuff that can help me improve my skills and stuff like that. And so it's like, we kind of have this responsibility to keep moving forward and really focus on doing what's best for us in our business. Meanwhile, people who may have a 9-to-5 or even a part-time job, it's like, they can leave that job at the end of the day and that's it. So you're absolutely right that as business owners, we have this responsibility to really put our all into it, because that will end up leading to how well we do and our success in the future.
Yeah, and that's kind of the cool thing about having a career that's like your passion project too, is like, you kind of never get tired of like working on it. Well, for me at least. Like, I know right before coronavirus and the pandemic started, I was in New York and I was shooting like multiple photo shoots a day. I was shooting concerts at night. I was shooting on the weekends, like doing just so, like working like probably the most that I've ever worked. And my roommates at one point, you know, I kind of rolled into the apartment at like midnight or something after a photo shoot. And they're like, how do you do this all day and not get enough sleep? And you're like still excited about it. And I was just like, I don't know. Like, it's, I just love doing it. And so that's kind of the pro of it. It's like, you might be doing it on nights and weekends, but you're going to love what you do.
Yes, most definitely. It's like, you could be working all of these crazy hours and it almost doesn't even feel like work, because it's something that you're genuinely excited and looking forward to do, because you know that you're passionate about it and that you want to keep growing in any way that you can.
Yeah, I just like, I get out of bed and I'm like, okay, let's go.
Absolutely. And Gabby, you've already shared so much helpful advice and tips with your own story and journey with our listeners. But if there was one last piece of advice you could give to them, what would it be?
Okay, I got two pieces of advice because I couldn't decide which one was more important. The first one could be for any person or any business they want to start, and it is just say yes to new opportunities. And that can be so scary, kind of like we mentioned. It's like, ooh, it's unfamiliar to me. I don't know necessarily how it's going to go. But if you can stay open to saying yes, like that is going to take you to so many cool and interesting places that you might not have ever gotten to experience. So that's my first piece. And my second piece is to get a really good contract, or at least get it in writing. If you're going to start a business and you are going to be doing financial transactions with other people, make sure you have a contract or you have it in writing. It's going to save you so much headache down the road.
Those two are perfect, and I can totally relate. So for the first one, to kind of expand upon that, I can personally say, and I know that there are many people who have done the same thing, but I personally haven't moved forward on an opportunity because I was like, oh, well, I don't know how to do that. I'm not good at that. I can't do that for someone. But one of my favorite quotes is by Marie Forleo, which is, everything is figure outable.
Yes, love her.
I mean, no matter what you do, you can always figure it out. And that's how you actually end up learning and growing as a business owner, by trying things that are new and scary to you. And on
Definitely.
The opposite end with those contracts, I mean, 100%. I don't think I need to say more than that. Awesome. Well, Gabby, this has been such an awesome episode that I know our listeners will find so valuable. And so now I'd love if you could share where they can find you online in case they'd like to connect with you further.
Yeah, so they can go to GabbyDiamickeyPhoto.com. That's my website. It has like all my photography on there and tons of fun links. And then for social media, it's G Dimes. That's G-D-E-I-M as in magic, Z, on social media.
Perfect. And I'll also link to those in the show notes. That way, in case anyone missed it, they can click through and connect with you from there.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Ashley.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show.
It was awesome.
Thanks so much for listening today. I'd love it if you could subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with those who could use it most. For show notes and more information, go to studenttoceo.com/podcast.